From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is ESPN 97.5. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gau Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
It's Joel, Nick, and Barry. Go has a lot of meetings, and hot is even better.
Yeah,
basically.
I just gotta catch him when he like drops an F bomb. Like,
oh gosh, I hate you, Nick. F.
Mike's hot.
It doesn't matter. You could say Mike's hot, and Barry go. And you know what, Nick? Another thing.
Oh. Yeah,
yeah. Well, you know,
it happens.
I think the people get it.
My favorite part is when Barry warned me about how he might cuss in this upcoming rant that he was going to have. Mm-hmm. He did cuss, and then I'm like, I dumped him. He's like, hey, why'd you dump me? I'm like, you didn't hear what you said? He's like, no. I didn't hear myself saying a-hole.
I really have to be careful sometimes. When we're talking, it just feels like I'm hanging out with my bros.
That's what we always want.
We're just
right?
Chilling. We're at the bar. We're having a good time. And
the locker room, the living room.
No. Sometimes I cuss. So I have to be careful. And I apologize if to you, Nick, when I make you dump me.
Because most people are like coming in, like they're not normally on the radio every day. Like, can I say that, Nick? Is that okay? I'm like, yeah, you're good. Barry's like, whatever. I'll say whatever's on my mind at
Barry's
that time.
Like, you know my favorite Broadway play? Jesus Christ Superstar. That's what it is.
That's when it all started. Yeah. That made me so mad, though. And then I find out that that's not on the list of seven things. I think it's just a Jong preference or a Gal preference, like a Gal Media.
Like a company policy as opposed to like a federal or like a law. Yeah.
The cool thing was you didn't let it show on the air. That really, really got your
I'm an
vote.
Open book, Joel. I am transparent to the people. I am an open book.
Some people wish you'd pull the curtains every now and then.
It's just you.
No, Nick. Come on now.
Did you take your free towel out of the package?
I did not.
I did.
Is it like a really cheap towel?
It's
now,
nice.
They said on the broadcast, it's a really good towel. There's no way they're giving away a really good absorbent towel.
It's a free beach towel. And they're this Friday, right? They're doing them this Friday?
Yep.
I would go to get the towel.
Would you?
Yeah.
Really, to get the towel?
Yeah.
It's a better than average giveaway because it's actually a pretty good sized towel.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, it's like you're going to go to the park. You're going to go down to the pool. And if, you want to show your Astros pride.
It's the kind
pride.
Of towel you put on your lawn chair when you're laying out or whatever.
Breathe some orange fire. Yeah.
Well, and if you don't know, it looks like the Texas flag, only it's in Astros colors.
The best way to describe it is the flag that Orbit runs the after a win, he runs through the outfield like a maniac waving a flag. It's basically that flag made into a beach towel. I'd go and get one.
I think that's great.
Yeah,
and
I'd go.
And then whatever they call that.
It's better than those stupid-ass hats. I will say, I didn't like those hats.
Oh, the fedoras?
The Bear Bryant-looking
hat.
Yeah,
the fedora.
Yeah. That's.
I will say another one that they're very good about being quick on these things is opposite of Keuchel's corner. They've got that right under the big scoreboard in right field section. I forget what they call it. But Friday night, they're also giving away for people in that section a Yuli Gurriel headband with his hair.
Really?
Yeah. So last night, Callis and Stanton, because Stanton for some reason is filling in for our boy Blummer. Todd Callis and Mike Stanton put them on, and then they used them trying for a rally in the late innings. But it's
failed.
A crazy looking. The headband says Yuli.
They need to get grasshoppers if they're going to do that. The rally hoppers.
Okay.
But I didn't see them. Does it look like a troll doll?
Yeah, but not pointed and everything. It really kind of looks like. But the only problem is it's not a full head of hair.
It's like a horseshoe.
It's like a front. It's like it's like in the it's all the hair around the headband.
Yeah,
but in the center it's like a donut. Empty. There's nothing there.
It's just bangs and sides.
So the camera guy last night for Roots giving you kind of the aerial in the booth, and you're like, what the hell's going on at the top of their heads?
They got some holes in the lawn up there.
Yeah.
A couple of people have told me to watch Into the Badlands.
Good show on
AMC. Well, so you watched that?
Only the first season. It was like the first season was only like four episodes, but it was good.
What's it about, Nick?
It's like about like you'd go around and like there'd be like these, I don't know what the names are, they'd have like these leaders. It's not realistic. They'd have like regions.
Hold on, let me just stop. So far, this is the worst description of a show. Like
I haven't watched the whole second season.
But I asked you what's it about, and you're like, well, like they go around.
They'd have like these regional leaders.
Okay.
One leader was very protective about him being sick. He didn't want it to get out. So he decapitated the local doctor.
You're giving me plot lines. What's it about? Like, I can tell you what Vikings is about. Vikings is about Vikings that grow up in Viking land fighting other Viking clans, and then they go and pillage in England. And there's lots of fights, and there's a few love stories.
No, I'm not watching that.
All
you got to do is tell me there's lions and bears in it, too, and I got the NFC North. I'm anti all the three of those things.
No. What is Into the Badlands? Give me the elevator pitch, the one-minute summary of what it's about.
It's essentially like there's like these regions, there's leaders. They basically they're very dictator like.
Okay.
They're very gory. They'll kill people. They have like local doctors, local it's a very small community, and they like it's very corrupt, basically.
Okay.
And it basically goes back to
what's the time frame? Like, when is it set in? Like,
I think it goes back to when like the world like kind of comes to an end, kind of like where everything like we lose electricity, like we lose technology, we lose.
Oh, so it's like one of those times
kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to check that out then. That would be something I think that would interest me. I would like that.
For like a couple of episodes?
Hmm?
I'll watch this.
Somebody said there's like six episodes on Netflix. I'll watch it.
I didn't watch the entire season two, just like the initial, which I think was like a four episode season, honestly, season one.
Okay. Yeah, I'll check it out. So you did like it though, thumbs up?
Yes. Okay. And it wasn't incredibly gory. Like I said.
Well, neither is Vikings. It's just there's good fight scenes. It's good battles. It's like axes and swords and...
Oh, boy.
Ragnar Lothbrok is a badass.
Who?
Ragnar Lothbrok. That's the main character. That's the leader of the Viking whatever clan.
I'm out.
Crew. What?
I'm not watching that.
You can't be out.
I can be.
No? I won't allow it.
Cavs Celtics tonight. Is it over?
When? What time?
What time's the game?
Yeah, when is it?
7:30 Central. Cavs Celtics.
I'm going to watch it. Does that surprise you?
It does surprise me because you haven't been watching.
I don't want to, but I know I have to. I have a feeling LeBron's going to go off.
But you're going
to
flip back and forth between the Astros.
Yeah, of course. But I have a feeling LeBron's going to go off. I'd say 30 and a triple-double.
A triple-dub?
Yeah.
What's Kyrie doing?
Whatever he wants, but I got LeBron 30 and a triple-dub.
Nick, over?
I think.
And yes, it's over.
Yeah, I think it's over. I think a Kyrie Irving triple-double is fair.
No, I said LeBron triple-double. Oh, I didn't say a Kyrie Irving triple-double.
I think a Kyrie Irving could...
Listen to the show again, Barry. Leave him
I
alone.
Think LeBron... but does LeBron need to have a triple-double in this game, though?
I think that this...
I mean, people were beating his ass up last game, and he had 34.
There's a lot... I think he wants to, you know, shut up some folks.
Yeah.
I told you guys more than anything else, I really believe it's because he knows Golden State is just sitting on their butts... fat and happy, waiting for they would love to see this thing go six or seven, and he basically is going to say enough's enough. It's over. They don't have Isaiah Thomas. This shouldn't be a factor. They let one get away, and it's time to put an end to it so that they can prep too, and it can get down to what everybody has expected all year.
Who scores more, him or Irving?
Tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Him.
LeBron?
LeBron gets more than Kyrie tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, you know,
so you
what?
Think I'm crazy saying
too.
Triple-double?
Triple-doubles, I mean, for him, no.
Okay.
You know, for most players, for Kyrie Irving, the rebounds, and I just don't see it. But I can easily see Kyrie getting 25. I can see LeBron getting 30-some. I can see Kevin Love with another big game. Kevin Love has been big in the series because his through ball he's knocking the three ball down consistently.
I see what you're saying about the rebounds and the triple-double. I just think that I just expected Kyrie Irving to have a better game than LeBron. Or I expect him to have a better game.
The thing that people don't put enough value on and don't realize how hard it is, and you can use Kelly Olynyk as an example, and he's not as good a player, obviously, but it's hard for people in this league, especially come playoff time, to put back-to-back games together of high quality. LeBron has that skill set. He he's able to do that. He's proven he's able to do that. Kyrie can come out and ball out like he did the other night. But putting those games back-to-back has been a challenge for a lot of guys. And he's not alone, and it shouldn't be a knock on him. But that's in part why I would say LeBron goes off for another big game. Kyrie still not having a bad game in the 20s, but that's the way I would break it out.
Word.
Okay. So we're going to get Kevin McHale on here, too. I want to talk to him about a lot of things. One of the things that I had said to you earlier in the week was going back to that epic series with the Hawks and the Celtics when it was Dominique and it was Larry Bird and just back and forth, scoring fest, big fourth quarter. I noticed the guy guarding Dominique in a lot of those situations in the fourth quarter had a 32 on his back. Thought I might bring that up.
Be good.
Yeah. We'll see how he feels about that.
Yeah.
I imagine we'll get a whoof out of him for that one. So Kevin McHale's around the corner. We've got plenty more show to get to. Please feel free to join us. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4. It is my honor and privilege to bring in my good friend, the golfaholic, which annoys the hell out of me because I haven't golfed in so long, Kevin McHale, who's off the course and on the mic and ready to go. Coach, as always, because we gave you a vacation again last week, we appreciate you joining us.
Well, no problem. Thanks, guys, for having me. Putting up with me.
Don't try to be that serious with us. How'd you shoot today?
Shot 81. Nice place. Troon Country Club. Just a little road trip and had a couple squirrely holes, but they're really a beautiful course. If you ever get a chance to come on here to Scottsdale, Troon Country Club is a fine, fine place to play.
I'll look forward to that complimentary round. I had said there was an anniversary right off the top this week of that big epic matchup between your Celtics and Dominique's Atlanta Hawks, and just some of the memories you have of that just duel back and forth between Larry and Dominique and your team finishing off the Hawks.
Well, yeah, that was a heck of a game, man. Larry got on fire in the fourth quarter. So did Dominique. They were both making incredible shots. And, you know, I was guarding Dominique, and I was using my assignment. And, boy, I tell you what, I was ended up on him, just damn near blocking. He just got on fire. It was the quality of the shots that both those guys made through that stretch was unbelievable. And we ended up coming back, and you know, not coming back, ended up holding on and winning the game. But it was one of those ones where you get done and you just go like, wow, we're both guys just on fire. And I played a lot of games with Larry, just one of those classic moments when he just got on fire. Neek was always capable of just catching fire himself. So it was a fun game.
Well, you've had the privilege of being in two big ones like that, because you had that game, and then you had the game where Jordan came out with, 63 against you guys in a first-round series. I believe it was best of three back then.
Best of five. Because we ended up beating them, the best of five back then.
Okay.
So we ended up beating them in game three at in Chicago. I swept them. But yeah, he came out and he dropped like 47, I think, somewhere around there in the first game. And in the second game, he dropped 63. And then as a team, we decided we better double-team this guy. And we better take the ball out of his hands. And we ended up beating him pretty handily up in Chicago. But those first two games, we kind of just played him head up and didn't really have, you know, what later became, you know, Jordan rules. We double teamed him all the time that third game. Like, he literally was just played so well, was making jump shots, driving. You know, he was back then he settled for a lot more turnaround fadeaways later on in his career. But then it was just a relentless attack to the hole, and he put on an amazing performance. I think we ended up beating him in overtime in game two. And after that game, Casey Jones said, "All right, guys, we better get serious with these guys. We got to get the ball out of that guy's hands." And we went to Chicago and we took care of business.
Where are you on all this Jordan LeBron, everybody keeps bringing it up and making the comparisons, and LeBron with an off night the other night, and they saying Jordan never had a night like that, and you know, the millennials are all in the LeBron camp. But you know, you can talk about greatest of all time, but where are you on that comparison, LeBron, Jordan, and where they stack up?
Well, you know, Michael was a better scorer and just a better late game type player. Michael, you know, it's crazy to say because LeBron wound up scoring more points than Michael was a scorer. You know, Michael, he could do everything else. He could, you know, he could defend. He could do, but he could flat out just score the ball. And he was a better scorer than LeBron. LeBron's a better rebounder, and LeBron's a better passer, and LeBron's Well, they both are really good defenders. Michael was our bigger guys too. He was strong, really long. But you know, if I had to take one, I always say this: if I had to play with one of them, I'd play with LeBron. LeBron, it just was like Magic and Larry. You know, if you get it going, he'll let you get 40. Michael was a scorer. Michael, you know, he wanted the ball. I mean, you know, and he could pass it. And he had a lot of multiples. You know, he had a lot of the games where he had 10 plus assists, but Michael was a scorer. But overall, if you say that I had an average team and I wanted to become a great team, you know, I mean, I think Michael is just going to bring you home on so many games. But, you know, LeBron, if you said, boy, I have four All-Stars and we want someone to fit in, I think LeBron would fit in with a team like that better than Mike. So they're both amazing. I mean, it's just I still say that, you know, in the last 2 weeks of a close game and you had to choose a guy, you could not choose Michael. And then I'm just going to throw this out there for all the fans. Don't everybody sleep on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, please. He never gets mentioned in this thing, but Kareem was as good as it got in our league.
Wasn't it funny from a scoring perspective, Mailman and Kareem are two guys that never come up, and they're the two all-time leading scorers in NBA history?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's amazing. And like I said, you know, Michael was score from such different ways. But if you said that, okay, Michael had the ball at the right elbow where he really liked to operate, or Kareem had the ball at that left low post, that right low post where he liked to operate, and they both had the ball, Kareem's going to make more of those shots. And Kareem was amazing on that right box down there when he got the ball down there. Just that sky hook was just ridiculous. But now LeBron's great. You know, I mean, I'd love to see the Celtics come out tonight and win the game, put a little bit of pressure on it, because, you know, Golden State and the Cavs haven't been tested at all.
Okay, here's one I got to ask you. I know since your schedule has ended and you've been nothing but tees and greens, I don't know how far you've been following this, but the other night, our boy Charles and Shaq get into a back and forth that seemed to get more than a little personal. And, of course, everybody wanted to go back to the night that they got into the fight, but then Shaq went back to that night and posted a picture that showed him blocking Charles's shot. A lot was back and forth. I don't know how much of you caught, but you work with these guys. And to me, it's shocking to me, but yet you work with them all the time. Is there tension that builds up? Is there something that's still there? Because they're both great guys separately, but it seemed like it really got personal for the second time in a while the other night.
And I mean, they're both great guys. You're right. And you know what? They both really respect each other. I mean, but they just get heated up sometimes. And they start firing shots, and, you know, neither one of them wants to back down. So, you know, it gets a little bit heated. They both are just firing away at each other. Yeah, I saw that, and I really like them both. They're just wonderful, wonderful guys, and Charles is just the absolute best. But yeah, I mean, I even got uncomfortable with it. Like, ooh, man, like, you know, just one level lower, fellas. You know?
Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah, but you know what? I think that's forgotten. I really do. I think pretty quickly that's forgotten. We move on, and you know, the show gets out of the tight wire a little bit, and they start getting after each other. But at the end of the day, I don't think there's anything that I was all wondering. I'll go to the bridge and it'll be fine.
So you don't think it's going to be an awkward plane ride to Boston with all them on the plane together?
No, they'll be fine. They'll do just fine, I think. They're all together. They'll be fine.
Thank God they got Ernie. He can kind of referee the whole
thing. Yeah, that's a big thing. Ernie, Ernie knows. Ernie's got a great feel for that studio show. It's as good as anybody in the business by far, and he'll keep everything under control. And if right now, you know, if they said to him, "Boy, that, you know, that didn't come across well," and I didn't see from the reaction of all the fans. A lot of times, the fans really like that stuff. I think fans sometimes of the show really like guys getting after expressing their opinions, and you know, they might have got. I didn't see the play over the social networks, but. What was thought about it by just the general public?
Well, one of the big takeaways was, hey, when you get into a fight with a guy, like when they did when they were in their playing days, that no matter how much you work with a guy, you know, you don't forget the fact that you once went to blows with him, and that kind of that will always kind of be like on the back burner. And I was interested to get your opinion on that because, you know, they both have Hall of Fame careers. I thought it was a little much that Shaq said that people question Charles being in the Hall of Fame, but it's one of the overriding factors, especially because it happened here in Houston. The fans were like, well, that all goes back to that fight. They can't let that go. They'll always remember that. It's always going to come up. And I was interested to get your take on that.
Yeah, no, I think I think a lot of that stuff you do let go, honestly. It's in the heat of the moment. They've worked together. They've been together a lot. So, I mean, that stuff, you know, you kind of go look back on it now, and you can laugh about it now, but at the time, it was dead serious, and those guys were competitors. But I think that's the next show that'll be forgotten, and they'll move on.
Okay,
hey Coach, are you going to be able to stick around for another segment?
I got to roll, boys.
All right. Well, who's winning? Who's winning tonight?
You know what? Gosh, my heart says Celtics, but my mind just goes back to. Celtics, you know, were playing really well in game four, and then, you know, LeBron was struggling a bit from the field. When Kyrie Irving kind of gets on a roll like he got, oof, man, they are hard to beat. That includes Golden State. I think Golden State's the best team, but I think Cleveland will get them, and I sure hope the Celtics win and kind of stretch the series out a little bit. But if I had to bet, I'd bet Cleveland.
Well, your boy Danny's done a hell of a job, because regardless, Brad Stevens looks like he was the right pick. And the team that he put out there capable of winning even without Isaiah Thomas was great. If you're the Celtics, are they keeping that pick? Or are they trying to move it to try and land a Paul George or a Jimmy Butler?
Well, I'm sure they're going after something. I would assume that he's going after the top three or four players in his mind that can help his team the most, you know, whether it be a Paul George, as you said, or a Jimmy Butler. I actually think it's Porzingis or someone like that. And I think he'll go out after some, you know, after the top guys that he thinks can really take this team to the next level. If he gets one of those guys, he will. I think he would do it. I don't know. You know, I don't know his list. He hasn't shared that with me, but I'm sure that he's. I think some bigger guys. I think they could use a shot blocker around the rim, and that. But I think if they don't get that, I think he'd be perfectly happy to draft one or trade that pick and move it 3 or 4 or 5, whatever. I think he's got a lot of options. But Danny's done a great job with that team. They also have cap space, so you know, look for the Celtics to really make a big improvement this summer, one way or the other.
There you have it. Coach, we appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. Keep hitting them straight, and I'll check in with you.
All right, boy. Take care. Bye.
Kevin McHale right here on The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. We're up against it. We got a half hour to go on the show. Please join us if you will, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. We're The Usual Suspects, and we will be back with more on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Strohs and Tigers tonight. Hockey talk will be saving.
Fears versus Verlander. It's not how you say either of those.
Nope.
But
you can also catch Wildcat Golf right down there on
Alameda. Yeah. Okay. First of all.
There's a game 7 tonight in hockey, by the way. Ottawa and Pittsburgh. We'll let Fred and AJ talk.
Yeah.
For as much crap as AJ gives us about talking baseball, they're spending an exorbitant amount of time talking hockey. And I love hockey, but
let's
I don't know
talk
how
the
many
Clark
people.
Cup.
What?
The Clark Cup.
The hell is that?
The Chicago Steel
won the Clark Cup.
Oh.
Yeah.
What is
breaking news?
What exactly
is that?
It's like an independent hockey league.
I wouldn't have thought that the Chicago Steel would have won, because I really thought the Schenectady stick blades would have had a chance to win the...
It was a close one.
The Clark's Cup?
I had the rejuvenated Houston Arrows making a run.
Did you?
Against the Milwaukee Admirals.
No.
No?
No, I don't know where you got that from.
IHL?
No. Someone texted the show and said, is this true that the Cash Me Outside, How About That chick is getting a show based here in Houston? Please tell me it's fake news. So, yes and no. Yes, it's true. Cash Me Outside, How About That is getting a show.
Yep.
It's a test tour, and it's supposed to be comedy. And I'm slapping the first person that calls that a comedy show.
I don't know if it's about...
I heard it's like a reality
show. Yeah. No, it's a tour. She's doing a tour.
No wonder why the other day they were talking about her.
She's at the House of Blues. Her backstage
demands of what she has to have.
Did you see the list?
Yeah.
It's stupid.
It is ridiculous.
One of them was, hold on, I tweeted this, or not tweeted it, but I wrote about this in my Houston sports and stuff. Where the hell it go? It's not even on
pizzas.
The... Pizzas. Yeah, I can't find it now.
Oh, that's good.
Here it is. Yeah, so it was, oh, wow, by the way, there's that hot Yannette Garcia.
Check her out if you get a chance.
Yeah, so here's the Cash Me Outside's backstage demands. 50-inch TV with Netflix and a DVD player for viewing Paris Hilton's House of Wax movie subject to change. So her favorite movie is a Paris Hilton movie. That's all you need to know about how stupid this chick is.
She's literally like 14 or 15 years. She's a kid.
Don't care.
She's rolling in it, Nick.
You're a dumbass if your favorite movie is a Paris Hilton movie.
You're a 14-year-old female.
Yeah, of all the movie.
That's not a movie. It's a show, right?
No, I guess it's a movie.
Oh, boy.
Of all the movie that exists, Paris Hilton? Like, you couldn't even gone with something like, I don't know. She needs 3 fidget spinners. If she were an adult, I would have a different comment for what a fidget spinner is, because I don't know what the hell that is.
That's one of those, you haven't seen them?
No.
kids use them. It's like a flat triangle.
I'm scared of this right now.
And it's all they do is like they put their...
It's not like the rabbit, is it?
No.
Okay. I just checking.
It's like something to do. They spin it in their fingers.
Something to do?
Yeah, so all these
kids... Is this the modern-day version of twiddling your thumbs?
Kind of, yeah. So imagine, like, it's hard. I'll find one on the internet for you. But it's essentially like a flat jack, what a jack looks like, you know, or a three-prong with a circle in the middle. And you just hold the circle and you spin it.
For what, though? What is its purpose? What is its purpose?
It's supposed to be stress relieving, according to Wikipedia.
That's correct.
What?
I got to show Barry a picture, Nick. What's it called again?
A fidget spinner.
A fidget spinner.
She needs 3 of them because obviously she has 3 hands.
A stress relieving toy.
A stress relief. How many kids have stress that they need a stress relieving toy?
Consists of a bearing in the center of a design made from any of a variety of materials, including brass.
This is the millennial version of a pet rock. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. What is that? Is that a UFO? What is that?
You hold it in the middle and you spin it.
So apparently it was invented in the 90s, but it's been really popular this year.
It was invented in the 90s?
In the 90s.
It's available at Walmart for $5.59.
One of those is $6?
$6.
So that your kid and all of their 14-year-old stress in their life?
It's a gimmick.
It's working.
Don't fade. It's stupid. What 9-year-old has stress that they need a stress reliever, like those metal balls that you see adults? What are those called?
Metal balls?
You know what I'm talking about. Bearing? They're like, no, they're like you spin them in your hand and it's for stress.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I don't know what they're called.
And it makes like a little clinging type of noise.
Yeah, but those are supposed to be for like stress and relaxation and all that. But what 9-year old, what kind of stress is a 9-year old? Are you like, oh, I just got my taxes in. My property taxes are through the roof. Now I got to protest them. Where's my fidget spinner?
Yo, if you don't think that kids that age have stress, cash me outside.
How about that?
She's got to have three of them.
So the rest of her demands are she needs 5 Gildan or Fruit of the Loom brand white tank tops. Quote, absolutely no Hanes brand. I need a fidget spinner right now. This is stressing me out how stupid this is.
The tank top request to me is more. That's
dumber than the Paris Hilton thing to you? Nothing's dumber than
that. It's an upscale classy look.
Nothing. Well, you know, yeah. She needs 4 large Domino's pizzas. Her next tour is going to be the fat ass tour.
I'm okay with that. She's 15. Yeah.
Four large pizzas?
Yeah. When I'm 15, I want 4 large pizzas. Yeah.
For yourself?
Yeah. It's not for her. I bet it's for her mom.
You're 15. You can consume 3 large pizzas when you're 15.
Yeah. If you're Fat Albert. No 15-year-old is eating 3 large pizzas, much less 4, Nick.
3 may have been an exaggeration, but I would consume. Huh?
If they're sharing them.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Ugh. And 1 fruit platter, but no pineapple.
What the hell?
I actually want pineapple in my fruit platter.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, that's like the best fruit.
Keep the honeydew.
It's like
skip the honeydew and give me more pineapple.
Pineapple's the best fruit.
It's awesome.
Right?
Yep.
We're all agreeing
that she's like 15. Yeah, I have complete agreement with you there.
She's eating a pizza in this article with Cheetos on it. I'm not upset about that.
Ugh.
Well, have you ever had it, Joel?
I wouldn't want it.
There was a pizza food truck that
Hot Cheeto pizza?
Yes.
Yes. I saw that. Is it good? So have you tried it?
Yes.
Is it good?
Yeah. I went with all my stoner friends, and it's literally called like the 420 pizza, I think. And you don't have to be stoned to enjoy it. Just let your inner fat child out, or your inner 14-year-old.
Burger King is bringing back the cheesy Mac things.
No, I've never had those. Those don't look appealing to me.
God, they sure don't.
But at 14, it's so hard for me not to treat this chick like an adult. But this is the thing. She, in addition to her $750 per diem.
Wait, she's not an adult. You can't treat her like an
adult. Well, I just mean by calling her names. I'm not going to call a 14-year-old kid names, but I really want to. If she was 24, I would call her names. She's 14.
She tried to act like an adult trying to kick everybody's ass. Yeah. And everybody, well, when she got a little bit of her 15 seconds of fame, people wanted to kick her ass.
Well, but she gets a $750 per diem and $3,000 for personal security.
Yeah.
I thought you were such a badass. Right. You didn't need security. Cash my security outside doesn't have the same ring to it.
Here's my thing. Her and the Kardashians have some sort of talent. Have some sort of talent to deserve this kind of attention.
But I feel like you're disparaging the Kardashians with this. Oh, yeah. You can't lump those two together.
They don't have any talent either. Paris Hilton doesn't have any
talent.
They
got a lot of ass, Joel, and that'll get you a lot further than talent sometimes.
Well, they got doctors for that.
Or a sex tape. You just, you know.
That works, too.
That helps.
Hey, right now I want to tell you about Gallery Furniture. Gallery Furniture has just started this brand new promotion that might be right up your alley, especially if you're a baseball fan. Your Astros are rumored to be one of the favorites to win it all this year. Well, if they do, guess what? Your mattress purchases and bedroom purchases free. If you buy $3,000 of bedroom furniture, mattresses, including Tempur-Pedic and all the other great mattresses at Gallery, and the Astros win it all, well, at the end of the year, you get it all free. You go to galleryfurniture.com and you get all the details. But if the Astros win, you win if they win it at the end of the year. Gallery with 3 convenient locations across the Houston area at the Westheimer location right off of Post Oak in the Galleria. They also have the Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, and of course the mainstay I-45 North exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where there's no backorder slips. As Mac always says, buy today, get it tonight within 3 to 4 hours. No waiting, no 3, 6, or 9 week backorder waiting. You just get what you want, when you want it, the same day you pick it out when you go to one of the gallery furniture locations. And the customer service is fantastic. There's service before, during, and after. And if the delivery people are there and you want them to take something away while you're getting your new furniture, they're happy to help out any way they can. It's Gallery Furniture, where they absolutely will save you money.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Another good one that's flown by, fellas.
Indeed.
I can't believe last segment was good. If you miss it, we're going to put it up.
A couple people complaining about him having a cricket phone.
There was a few.
Yeah, I was worried about that.
Yeah, but it wasn't that bad at all. So it'll be on ESPN 97.5.com.
I wouldn't say at all.
It wasn't that bad. It was still audible.
He's had better reception.
He was playing golf.
But he wasn't at his country club. He was at another more prestigious country club up in the hills.
Got this text.
Bring it.
That's cool, Barry. Don't read my text. All right.
You just did.
Okay.
How do you feel now? Better? Got a warm fuzzy?
Yeah, somebody said the Blitz would have hung up on Mikhail with his Boost Mobile ass. where was he at? Scottsdale?
It's where he lives.
I imagine he was on the course.
He was dropping the name of wherever he played today.
He was probably at the turn. It was like, that's why he was like, nope, gotta go, boys.
No, he said he was done. That's why I was a little shocked that he wouldn't do another segment. It sounded like he was in the car.
Yeah. Or underwater or in a submarine.
Here's that Yuli Gurriel hair thing.
That's pretty nice. Yeah, that's going to be in the Stroh Zone. I like it.
So if you're in the Stroh Zone on Friday night, you get the Gurriel hair and headband all in one.
I'd rather have the beach towel. I'll be honest with you.
Also, you get that anyway.
I'm not wearing
that.
You
get the beach towel just for going to the game. And then the Stroh Zone people get this in the t-shirt that says Yuli.
As much as I shouldn't, I really want a Keuchel's Corner shirt.
Why shouldn't you?
I don't know. Because I don't, like, we were, when Nick and I were at that authentic store, or just, we went to the regular Astros, what is it called?
It was like the Astros Authentic.
You're talking about the in Union Station.
Yeah, just their store.
Yeah,
just whatever the hell it is.
Clubhouse or whatever.
Their shirts. And I'm like, I have Astros shirts that I wear. I just don't want any that have names and numbers on the back.
Because you're anti-jersey guy.
Yeah, but I don't want Altuve's name on my back. That's just a personal thing.
No, I'm with you because I tend to see those type of shirts at Walmart, and I never buy my shirts from Walmart, like sports shirts.
But they had some really cool shirts that I liked, and Nick and I were kind of surprised. They had a bunch of hats. They had some nice hats. Not overly expensive, all things considered. They had stuff that I've never seen before at $30. It's not terrible.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, when you consider that it's in Minute Maid and all that, and these are hats that I don't think you're getting anywhere else. I'm not sure. I'm not a big hat guy anymore.
Well, there were some that were exclusive to that store, but there were a lot that you can get elsewhere.
That was one of the greatest things about New Era really getting into the hat game, because a New Era hat is the price it's going to be regardless of where you buy it. Otherwise,
is that the case?
Yeah, so most of the New Era, all the on-field authentics are $34.99.
Okay.
And that's pretty much everywhere you go. So that way it keeps the retailers from being able to jack the prices up. Or when you go to the game, everything was always more expensive. Now you know that a New Era on-field hat is going to be that price.
Word.
Which helps out. But yeah, I mean, Nick and I, when we were there, I was talking about the fact the only hat that I don't have is their batting practice hat. I'm just not a big fan of that circle logo. I love the H on the star, but that just circle with the H and the star and Houston and Astros on the top and the bottom. I'm just not, it's just, this just does nothing for me.
I'm with you on that. It didn't really do anything for me
either.
Yeah,
it's their BP hat. A lot of other teams have great BP hats. Like, you look at the Red Sox BP hat is their, they went back to the old 70s Red Sox where they did the red top with the black visor with the B. Some teams do like their secondary logo. But the Stros just having that the one that's the patch on the jersey on the sleeve,
yeah,
that circular logo, it just does. I'm just not a fan.
You know, I used to have a bunch of hats, and I used to wear hats all the time. And I don't know why it happened, but at some point I just thought I looked stupid in a hat, and I just stopped wearing hats. And rarely will I wear a hat anymore.
That's kind of how. That's the reason why I stopped wearing caps. But I just got back into them. But yeah, I didn't. I always thought I looked stupid. But you have to take the time and pick out the right cap.
Well, because I don't like the just a regular hat anymore. I started wearing the flat bill hats, and then my wife is like, "You're too old for that."
They do kind of look, yeah.
And then I started thinking, I wanted to go home last night and be like, well, in your face, because Pete Rose was rocking a flat bill.
He sure was.
So you can suck it, Nora. Yeah. But
high profile flat visor.
Yeah. Pete Rose, yeah.
With his crocodile loafers.
Yeah. He was, yeah.
And just say suck it to your wife?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't want to know if she took yet on it or not, but yeah.
Why wouldn't
Not we? Nice.
No? Well. What happened? She does that. She called me a bitch face one time. I was like, I said something. She goes, "You shut up, bitch face." I was like, "What?"
Nice.
Yeah, she won that. She don't play. She's a sassy Latina. She does not play.
I like it.
Yeah. So yeah.
So the next time you walk in on an 80 day instead of a 20 day, we can just go, "Oh, it's the bitch face."
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And this was years ago. This isn't like, you know, 6 months where resting bitch face has been a thing. She called me a bitch face like in 99. Like early on, I knew what I was dealing with. Yeah. I knew what I was dealing with really early on. But yeah, I was kind of surprised. $30 hats. Not too shabby. So for all the authentic stuff that they're trying to get your money for, the hats isn't
too bad.
I need
to get in the authentic dirt selling business is what I need.
No kidding.
Now, are those hats the snapbacks?
Yes.
Flex fits? I'm a big fan of the flex fit hat.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Or
are you talking about the ones that you don't, it's not an adjustable, it's like a stretchy kind of, I'm with you on that.
I like those.
Did you watched the game last night, right?
Yep.
Did you see Jordan Jankowski pitch?
I did. And I heard the broadcasters going crazy about, he got his first out was a strikeout to save the ball. Then he got a second strikeout. And they're like, can you imagine if in your first ever appearance in the bigs, you struck out the side and then whack,
triple.
Gone. See ya.
So he did strike out the side. He did strike out the side, but it was in between, you know, in between the second and third strikeout. He gave up a triple and a home run. And I told Nick, everyone was tweeting me like, oh, the announcers jinxed it. I told Nick I jinxed it because I had a tweet ready to go that I had read some things and seen some things on Jankowski where I was like, yeah, I hear good things about this kid.
Yeah.
And then he comes in and he gets the first two strikeouts, 15 pitches. He strikes, you know, two strikeouts. And I was like, I had the tweet already. Jankowski strikes at the side in his major league debut, triple. I was like, that's okay. And I start deleting a home run. I was like, oh my God, that's the worst.
You know,
I felt bad.
Is?
Jordan, the same. Is your, would that be weird? Would you marry a chick named Joel?
No.
Okay. That's just a question I had.
No, Barry. Yeah. Would you marry a chick named Barry?
Neither of those names are unisex.
Is she hot? Then yeah, if she's hot. What,
Nick, would you ever get married?
I mean, if she's a hot Barry, I mean, you never know.
I mean, yeah, I would. She's hot. And she's hot and actually a chick. I don't want no surprises or changes. She can't be like, oh, by the way,
I got outdoor plumbing.
You used to be a dude.
Yeah.
Nope.
Not used to.
Yeah. Nope.
I got some artillery here we haven't talked about.
Yeah, but good for him for striking out the side. Just bad for him for giving up a triple and a home run. Yeah.
Just remember the end result, not what happened in the middle.
That's right.
All right, we got one more left to go to finish off the week. That's tomorrow. We will be at BBVA Compass, 2200 Post Oak. If you want to join us. BBVA Compass doing a great deal buying lunch for people these days. If you want the details, check out the website, ESPN975.com. Right now, I want to tell you guys about Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. I've been telling you for a long time now about how great the program is. It's because it's provided by Houstonians for the benefit of kids in the Houston area. All you do is look around your garage, your yard, your driveway. If you got a clunker that's collecting rust and dust, you've been meaning to get rid of it, and you just haven't gotten around to it, well, now I have a solution for you. And it's one that makes perfect sense. You just call 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them where you live. Tell them what you got. They'll do the rest. They come to you with a tow truck. They do the paperwork. You get a tax deduction. You mention ESPN 97.5. You get a $50 gift card. And then they turn that gift into a donation that will keep on giving to kids in Houston trying to get an education. Could be book money. Could be bus fare. Could be eyeglasses. Could be warm meals. Anything that a kid needs that's distracting them from focusing on getting their education, they take care of it. And the resources are all because of donations from people like you. Again, 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.